ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायण रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम फिफ्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 19 एंटाइटल्ड द आइलैंड ऑफ जम्बूद्वीप टेक्स्ट 11 एंड 12 सिंस 11 हैज नो पर्पोर्ट। ओम नमो भगवते उपशमशीलायो परता नात्ममाय नमो अकिंचन वित्ताय ऋषि ऋषभाय नर नारायणाय परमहंस परम गुरवे आत्माराम अधिपतये नमो नमः इति। लेट मी ऑफर माय रेस्पेक्टफुल ओबेसेंसेस अंटू नर नारायण द बेस्ट ऑफ ऑल सेंटली पर्सन्स द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड। He is the most self-controlled and self-realized. He is free from false prestige and he is the asset of persons who have no material possessions. He is the spiritual master of all Paramahamsas who are the most exalted human beings. And he is the master of self-realized. Let me offer my repeated obeisances at his lotus feet. Text 12, Gayati Chedam, Kartasya Sargadishu Yona Badhyate, Nahanyate Deha Gatopi Dehi Kaihi, Drashturna Drugyasya Gunair Vidushyate, Tasmai Namo Sakta Vivikta Sakshine. Kindly repeat the word-to-word translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Narada, the most powerful saintly sage, also worships Naranarayana by chanting the following mantra. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the master of the creation, maintenance and annihilation of this visible cosmic manifestation, yet he is completely free from false prestige. Although to the foolish he appears to have accepted a material body like us, he is unaffected by bodily tribulations like hunger, thirst and fatigue. Although he is the witness who sees everything, his senses are unpolluted by objects. His senses are unpolluted by the objects he sees. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto that unattached, pure witness of the world, the Supreme Soul, the Personality of Godhead. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is described as Satchit Ananda Vigraha, the body of eternity, transcendental bliss, and full knowledge. Now in this verse, he is more fully described. Krishna is the creator of the entire cosmic manifestation, yet he is unattached to it. If we were to construct a very tall skyscraper, we would be very attached to it. But Krishna is so renounced that although he has created everything, he is not attached to anything. Na badhyate. Furthermore, although Krishna has his transcendental form, Satchit Ananda Vigraha, he is not disturbed by the bodily necessities of life, which are called daihika. For example, he is never hungry, thirsty, or fatigued. Nahanyate deha gatopi daihikaihi. Then again, since everything is Krishna's property, he sees everything and is present everywhere. But because his body is transcendental, he is above vision, the objects of vision and the process of vision. When we see someone beautiful, we are attracted. The sight of a beautiful woman immediately attracts a man, and the sight of a man naturally attracts a woman. Krishna, however, is transcendental to all these faults. Although he is the seer of everything, he is not affected with faulty vision. Nadruk yasya gunair vidushyate. Therefore, although he is the witness and seer, he is aloof from all affection for the activities he sees. He is always unattached and separate. He is only a witness. With the blessings of the Vaishnavas and for their pleasure, I would like to speak a few words. Today we are reading the prayers offered by Narada Muni to Naranarayan Rishi, who are the ultimate in terms of austerity. Krishna is Bhagavan. All the six opulences are fully manifest in him. So, still, in some maximum beauty is seen, in some incarnations the maximum power is exhibited, in some incarnations maximum opulence is seen, like that, according to what is required for the execution of that mission. It's like the electric power, the generator, the powerhouse may have immense capacity to generate power, but depending on the requirement of the building or the industry or whatever, that much is enough. If all the power were to come here, everything will be burnt. So Krishna just does, in every incarnation, he manifests whatever is required. But in some he has manifested extreme degree. And one of the opulences is renunciation. And Naranara and Rishi have exhibited maximum in terms of tapasya, the way they were completely renounced. Though all the incarnations have this, but it's manifest for our vision. Austerity, actually, what is austerity? It is a voluntary acceptance of some inconveniences to gain something in return. That is tapasya. Everyone in this world is engaged in some kind of austerities. Even for struggle for existence, as they say. That struggle is austerity. Just to maintain this body, one has to struggle. Even this body cannot be maintained without working, Krishna says in the Gita. So, struggle is there. But what is the difference between an ignorant person and a knowledgeable person? For an ignorant person who is not aware of who he is, what is the ultimate goal of life, all his austerities is like, in Hindi there is a saying, Khoda pahad nikli chuhiya. Digging a huge mountain for treasure and few mice comes out, rats. So, mountain of austerity and just drops of pleasure. Vari bindu sama. Vidyapati explains, the pleasure that is being sought at so much of austerity is Vari bindu sama. In a desert, you're going and immense thirst and so much of struggle, and what you get is a drop on your tongue. Your thirst increases, but it cannot satisfy. But the austerity of a person in knowledge is just one lifetime of austerity. and eternal pleasure. And what is that austerity? Susukham kartum. Pleasurable austerity. You have to always eat prasad. You have to dance. And chant a little. 16 rounds. Prabhupada was asked one, what do you do for recreation? He said, throughout the day what we do is recreation only. It depends on one's vision, of course. Otherwise it's not. Where there is love, actually there is no austerity. 16 rounds is duty. 17th is love. Otherwise, we can't discriminate from a person who is doing his duty in the mode of goodness or is transcendental. Of course, even that 16 can be out of love, very beautifully done, but that 17th is extra. Love means little extra, other than what is expected. If you do expected, even out of love, okay. But that extra mile, that extra effort, that extra endeavor, that's an exhibition of love. So, what is tapasya? Tapasya actually, in essence, because Narad Muni himself says, what is real tapasya? Aradhito yadi haris tapasa tata kim? Na aradhito yadi haris tapasa tata kim? What is the use of tapasya if you are worshipping the Lord always? There is no other tapasya required. And na aradhito yadi haris. If you are not worshipping the Lord, then millions of years of standing on your toes and raising your hand in some asana, vrikshasana, for millions of years is useless. Na aradhito yadi hari. That means the real tapasya is to worship the Lord. Because Krishna says, naham vedair na tapasa. I'm not captured by your tapasya. I'm not impressed by your tapasya. Naham vedair na tapasa. Then what is tapasya? We are supposed to do tapasya. Actually, the tapasya, real tapasya, is to do what is pleasing to the Lord, whether you like it or not, irrespective of whether you like it or not. That's tapasya. And the other tapasya, any other tapasya than this, inflates our false ego. That I am such a tapasvi, such an austere person. But this tapasya actually humbles. It's such a wonderful process. It's perfectly designed by the Lord. It's like a perfect system. You put from this side an unfinished, unpolished substance. And the system is so perfect, what comes out is a pure, well-rounded personality, decorated with 26 qualities. If devotional service is perfectly performed, that means perfectly under the guidance, perfectly under with proper consciousness, etc. Anyway, so that is tapasya. Whatever is pleasing to the Lord. Here, Narada Muni is offering to Naranarayan Rishi a beautiful prayer. Actually, Narada Muni is very much connected with Naranarayan Rishi. When we went to Badrinath, we were told that Badrinath is closed for 6 months and open for 6 months. They seal it up because it's completely covered by snow. And it is said that 6 months Narada Muni worships Naranarayan Rishi, Badrinath, in Badrinath. And for Badrinath, actually. Naranarayan Rishi is all there, of course. And 6 months it is worshipped by Manavas. And 6 months by Devas. Lakshmiji personally cooks for Badrinath. So, he resides there for at least 6 months. This is for sure. And he is offering this prayer to Badri Naranarayan, who also reside in that kshetra. And such a beautiful, the three shlokas, the three part of verse tells three different qualities of a transcendental person. And the fourth verse concludes those, concludes by three adjectives. Gayati cha idam. This is how Narada Muni glorifies. Karta asya sargadishu yona badhyate. Karta means the creator. The executor. Karta asya. Asya means of this material world. Sargadishu. Sargadishu means to creation, maintenance and annihilation. Karta asya sargadishu yaha na badhyate. He never gets entangled. He is the executor. He has created everything. He maintains everything. And he destroys everything. So from beginning to end, he is completely executor, completely in control. But yaha na badhyate. He never gets entangled. So this is the first sign of transcendental personality. That he is creating, he is maintaining, everything is in his hands, he is executing everything, but absolutely detached. Not entangled. Prabhupada is giving an example. Sometimes we create a skyscraper, we become attached. We create a child, we don't create. We do the needful and we do something and rest. Lord does the needful. But still, we become attached. I have created this. I have created this business. I have created this house. I have performed this. And naturally there is a tendency to be attached. Especially if it is just disintegrating, if it is breaking down, it really pains. A person who is attached really pains to see something that you worked for being just destroyed. So, this attachment is deeply there in the heart. But what is that attachment due to? What I can understand, it is due to feeling that it is extension of me. It starts from me, this body, especially the body, and its extension. Anything that is connected to the body, and if I think I am the body, anything that is connected to the body, naturally I am attached. It's my own extension. And therefore, when anything happens to that, you also feel very pained. A little child is struggling in the hospital, suffering in the pediatric ward. You may watch through the glass in the ward and so many children lying. And you say, that's the nature of this world. But if one of those children is your own, who is struggling to survive, of all the other kids, you look at that and your pain, tears starts welling up. Why? Because you can, you see, it's like your heart being pulled out. It's very painful to see. So that is due to the extension of my body. Somebody, 11 people are playing a game 11,000 miles away, and one of them hits and scores a boundary or a sixer, you are jubilant. Why? Because that person, 11,000 miles away, I have some connection with him. What is that connection? I am also born in this piece of land. He is also born. So we have that connection. Therefore, when he enjoys, I also enjoy. And with the first ball, if he is out, the whole heart collapses. How could this happen? What is the connection? Somebody else does it, you absolutely have no worry. If Zimbabwe fellow hits a sixer, who cares? Good sportsmanship. Out, yeah, he just neglected. Neutral. But then if there is a small connection, either through extension in the form of land, community, family, and ultimately this self, then it really pains. Another reason why there is a tendency of attachment is when a person has some shelter, he's attached to some kind of shelter, he's taking shelter, he's completely dependent on some thing. And if that is taken away, then it's very painful. And that is a fact. So if you are depending on something, just like if there's a beggar and he has very cold and he is covering himself with a blanket, if you try to snatch away the blanket, he'll struggle his best to keep it. Because he knows my survival depends on this. He's depending on that. And the most thing that we are attached to is the body, because we are dependent on it for our survival. If this goes, everything goes. Therefore, really struggle and fight to just maintain it. And if something happens, it's very painful. But a transcendental person, Krishna is the Supreme, Satchit Ananda Vigraha, even though he creates, he doesn't create a small ordinary thing, he creates the whole cosmic manifestation. Bhutva bhutva praliyate. He creates everything. He maintains perfectly everything, scrutinizingly. It's not that he's neglectful. Udasina vat asinam. Asaktam teshu karmashu. Udasina vat. He's not attached, doesn't mean he's neglectful. He is aware of every living entity, even a microbe. He's very concerned. But at the same time, Udasinavat is completely detached. Asaktam is detached. That is transcendental. Attached from a spiritual point of view, but detached completely materially. That's why he's transcendental. So this is the first quality of the Lord. That's why Prabhupada explains. We know Krishna is Satchidananda Vigraha, Ishwara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha. But here, through these three qualities, that what is that Satchidananda is so beautifully brought out. So, Karta Asya Sargadishu Yona Badhyate. This is the first. Therefore, Tasmai Namo Asakta. Tasmai Namaha. I offer my obeisances to that person who is Asakta. The second thing is, Na hanyate deha gatopi dehi kaihi. Na hanyate. Hanyate means not victimized. Deha gataha api. Although he looks like he has a body, he is dehi kaihi na hanyate. He is not victimized by anyone who has a body. Anyone who has a body, he must be victimized by hunger, thirst, and what is the other? And fatigue. Naturally, everyone gets tired. Everyone has feels hungry. Everyone feels thirsty. And that disturbs whatever we are absorbed in. Whatever we want to do. We want to do so many things. Had this not victimized us, we would have been continued to do so many things. Recently, I read in a newspaper, there's an article about, they have discovered a tablet. If you take that tablet, you don't get sleep at all. For many, many days.
So suddenly they thought, why not take this tablet and enjoy your senses 24 hours? Of course, they don't realize what's going to be. It's going to have such an effect later that you may sleep like Kumbhakarna for the next half of the life. It is a fact. It's a fact. Nothing in nature comes without a price. Nothing in nature comes without a price. You have to pay the price. And the longer you delay, the more the interest. You have to pay with compound interest. If someone thinks he's too smart, see, the law of nature is there, but you know, I squeezed out something and I got a good bargain. What everyone is doing, I did extra. But you will have to pay that extra. Sometime or the other, in some form or the other, in some way. But the laws of nature are very stringent. So hunger, thirst, fatigue is bound to be there. And that disturbs our continuous absorption in anything. Unfortunately, we want to just do something continuously, whatever we like to do. But then suddenly, hunger is there. Just I'll go out, take something. Then you come back, they say, little water. And then you keep on, and then you say, exhausted. So, na hanyate dehavad api, deha gataha api dehi kaihi. This is about Krishna. That deha gataha api, even though he seems to have a body like you and me, but nahanyate daihi kaihi. Anyone who has a body must be inflicted with his inabilities of the body, but he's not affected. He's absolutely not affected. So that's why he says, tasmai namaha asakta vivikta. Vivikta. Vivikta means, it's translated here as, without affection. He's not affected by the bodily victimization of so many needs. And third it says, drashtur nadrug yasya gunair vidushyate. Drashtur. Drashtur means one who, of him who is the seer of everything. Nadrug yasya gunaihi vidushyate. When we see something, we are bound to be affected by that. Different modes of nature. If you are in the mode of goodness, if you are in the mode of ignorance, then you see a nice, beautiful, soft cushion bed, you will be affected. You want to sleep. You see a nice, very costly liquor bottle freely distributed. Naturally, you will be attracted. You can't remain unaffected by that. For a person in the mode of passion, he sees some object of enjoyment, immediately. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, setting an example, told this. He says, people may say that they may be very renounced, but when I see even a woman, the doll of a woman, even a doll, a wooden doll, there is some vikara that is produced in my body. It's a fact. You see, hear, even hearing about immediately causes just some little transformation, bound to. And if you're in the mode of goodness, something very sattvic. We are attached to a nice, I don't like this city. I want to go in a village amidst nature, maybe in the Himalayas. You cannot but be attracted. You cannot but be influenced. Something or the other will influence. But the Supreme Lord, drashtur na drug yasya gunair vidushyate, and our consciousness is contaminated by mode of goodness, passion or ignorance, bound to be influenced, bound to be affected, bound to be contaminated. The pure shuddha sattva cannot remain. From Brahma down to the insignificant microbe, everyone has to be affected by the gunas. But the Lord is supremely transcendental. Therefore it is said, namo asakta vivikta sakshine. He is the witness. Can you imagine? A person is witnessing every thought, every word, every activity of every living entity throughout creation, and still be not be influenced. If you hear about the injustice done to someone, innocent person, again and again repeatedly, you really become angry. If a person, if you are associating with someone who is really enjoying so much, you cannot but be envious or want to enjoy like him. Something will influence, but imagine the Supreme Lord, since time immemorial, residing within the heart. In fact, he knows the thoughts, words and deeds of every living entity better than the living entity knows about himself. But still, gunairna vidushyate. Absolutely untouched. Namo tasmai namaha. Therefore, to that Lord, to that Satchidananda Vigraha, to the person who is absolutely transcendental, I offer my obeisances. Now, this is about the Supreme Lord. But the process of devotional service is so wonderful, so transcendental, that simply by practicing this process, even for some time, to a great extent, one can experience these three things. This is a proof that we are actually becoming transcendental, that the process is working, that we are at least on the right track. To what extent? Even though we have created something, even though we are personally maintaining something, even though something that we have struggled for throughout our life is just disintegrating right in front of us. Of course, we do the needful, whatever is necessary. But still, remain aloof. To what extent, in spite of the fact that there is hunger, there is thirst, there is so much of diseases, old age, even death facing us, but still, nahanyate, not victimized by the influences of the body. To what extent? This is a litmus test, whether we are rightly progressing. And the third thing, na drashtum drugyasya gunair na vidushyate. How much, by seeing around everything, still we can remain untouched from a materialist point of view, from the three modes of material nature. Recently I was hearing a lecture about this beautiful verse, Matparaha, in Bhagavad Gita, where Prabhupada writes about, what is the beginning of that? Tani sarvani sanyamya yukta asita matparaha vashehi yasya indriyani tasya pragya pratishthita. Second chapter. Sthita pragya is talking about a sthita pragya person. It says, tani sarvani sanyamya, controlling the senses. But one can't do it for long. Yukta asita matparaha. Attachment. So simply detachment is not possible. You have to be attached to a higher thing. Then automatically this happens. Tani sarvani sanyamya. One must control the senses. What is the difference between a mayavadi or an impersonalist who controls the senses and a devotee? He doesn't make, his whole absorption is not controlling the senses. He does the needful, whatever is necessary. He makes an effort. But he doesn't make a special endeavor. The goal of life is not to simply, no, I can't. I just have to control myself. No, he doesn't make an endeavor like that. He just engages in devotional service, and as a byproduct, gradually we find the senses are being controlled. And yukta asita matparaha. But simply matparaha, simply attachment to the Lord without detachment from this world is sahajiya. You're talking about dasham skanda of Krishna, matpara, only attached. But you are simultaneously attached to illicit sex. That is sahajiya. Simply matpara is sahajiya, and simply trani sarvani sanyamya is impersonalism. But vasudeve bhagavati bhakti yoga prayojitaha janayati asu vairagyam jnanam chayad ahaitukam. But the process of devotional service. But in the beginning we have to make an endeavor. Srila Prabhupada, when he spoke, generally he talks about the miseries of the world, how we are not the body. Very little he speaks about Krishna Leela. Why? Because to a KG school, if you give PhD level, it will simply go above his head. Or even from that Leela, he will get whatever he likes to hear, whatever his senses like to. Therefore, people like to go to the 10th canto, 35th chapter only, straight away. Or 34, that five chapters of Rasalila. Without hearing the first cantos, which is a systematic process. So, the process of bhakti yoga is so perfect. That is why Prabhupada said, what is tani sarvani sayamya for us? For us, tani sarvani sayamya is follow the four regulative principles. And what is matparaha? Chant 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna mantra. That's it. This is sadhana bhakti. Don't do too much right now. Don't worry. Just four regulative principles. This is tani sarvani sayamya. And yukta asita matparaha, chant the Hare Krishna mahamantra. 16 rounds every day. Then vashehi yasya indriyani. Automatically, the process is perfect. Get yourself into the system. The system is so perfect that perfect, well-rounded, transcendental personality will come out at the end. It's like a machine. You put any rough case and pure devotee will come out from the other end. So we see, kartasya, this is the first test. How much are we creating everything and detached? And how much are we uninfluenced by the victimization of the body? I would like to read this two verses from the 9th canto, which was spoken by Maharaj Rantidev just before actually dying out of hunger, out of thirst, out of fatigue. He was actually, his body was trembling because of lack of food. For 40 days, if I'm right, he had not eaten, he had not drunk anything, he had not slept. And after 40 days, food comes, drink comes to replenish and to rejuvenate yourself. And at that time, just he's about to eat. But then, a brahmana comes, gives away a part of it. A chandala comes, he gives away a part of it. A dog comes, brahmane, gavi, hastini, shuni, all of them systematically come. As if in order to fulfill the verse of the Bhagavad Gita, 5.18. And Antidev, absolutely demonstrating this principle. So, he just hands over. He distributes to his householders, at least, you know, house people. You don't suffer because of me. His part he gives. And ultimately just water. The only sustenance. This is a shelter. A person will be attached. He won't want to give up. So forget about everything else. If I don't survive, how can I serve you? He could have said that. But it's his sustenance. That's the only thing between life and death. But still he says, with great happiness, immense pleasure, he's giving and chanting a verse which is put eternally in the Srimad Bhagavatam by Shukadeva Goswami. He says, these two verses. Nakamayeham gatimishwarat param adrishti yuktam apunarbhavam vam artim prapadye khiladeha bhajam antasthito yena bhavantya dukkha. He's saying, he's praying to the Supreme Lord while giving that last glass of water. And he knows if he gives this, he's going to die. Still, his consciousness. I do not pray to the Supreme Personality of Godhead for the 8 perfections of mystic yoga, nor for salvation from repeated birth and death. I want only to stay among all the living entities and suffer all the distresses on their behalf so that they may be freed from suffering. Yesterday, Govind Prabhu very nicely spoke about Anukampa, Karuna. This is Karuna part. He is a living entity. He is not Nityananda Prabhu, to give Kripa too much. Whatever he has, he is offering to relieve that distress. So that level he has reached. Prabhupada writes, Vasudeva that made a similar statement to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, requesting the Lord to liberate all living entities in his presence. Vasudeva Dutta submitted that if they were unfit to be liberated, he himself would take all their sinful reactions and suffer personally so that the Lord might deliver them. A Vaishnava is therefore described as being paradukha dukhi, very much aggrieved by the sufferings of others. As such, a Vaishnava engages in activities for the real welfare of human society. And the next verse is what is relevant to us. He says, Kshut Trit Shramo, exactly what is being described here. Kshut. Kshut means hunger. Trit means thirst. Shramaha means fatigue. He has all of this to the extreme degree. Kshut Trit Shramaha Gatra Paribhramascha. Gatra Paribhrama means trembling of the body. It's actually sometimes after, if you fast for 2-3 days, I have noticed, maybe because less fat is there, so already I think I see what 40 days happened. I think I happened after one day itself. You can see, you know, sometimes you take something and get a little bit of experience. So, gatra paribhramascha, dainyam, poverty, klamaha, distress, shoka, lamentation, vishada, moroseness, moha, and bewilderment. Sarve nivrittaha, kripanasya jantor, jiji vishor, jiva, jalarpanan me. By offering my water to maintain the life of this poor chandala who is struggling to live, I have been freed from all hunger, thirst, fatigue, trembling of the body, moroseness, distress, lamentation, and illusion. All of this is basically to a person, is a victim, any person who has on the bodily concept must be victimized by these things. He said, all of this, I am freed. I have been freed from all of this. Just because, he says, by offering this water to maintain the life of this poor chandala. Now, how can this happen? Artificially, we can't do this. And even if we try to do it, we can't do it for long. This comes to the extent there is a higher taste. And that is love. Love of God, when it is there in the heart. Love. Actually, love means the pleasure of the beloved. The manifestation of love is what will please the Lord. Beloved. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, love means it has to manifest in, at least for a Madhyama Adhikari, in 4 ways. Surrender, worship of the Lord, and befriending the devotees, Maitra, Kripa to the living entities, and What is that verse about Madhyam Adhikari? Ishvare tad adhineshu balisheshu dushachucha prema maitri kripa upeksha yah karoti sa madhyama. Kanishta Adhikari means I love Krishna on the altar, that's all. I don't. Kanishta Adhikari is least bothered about devotees and all that. Me and Lord, bas. He has darshan and he walks off. Therefore, they don't remain for long. Many people we see coming, offering, going away. After some time, they go away. They will come some other time, maybe. But Madhyamadhikari means who stays. Madhyamadhikari means from Shraddha, little prema is coming. And to get prema, we have to do this. Ishvare, there are four different love manifest. Love, if you say, I love Krishna, it must manifest in different ways, in relationship with different entities. Ishvare, to the Supreme Lord, it has to manifest in a particular way. Tad adhineshu, the devotees, it must manifest in some way. Balisheshu, with innocent people, it must manifest in some way. And dushatsu, those who hate the Lord, it must manifest in some way. And that is explained by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. If you love Krishna, love means sacrifice, you serve. You try to please. Serving and surrendering. So Ishvare, surrender and serving the Supreme Lord. Ishvare. And if we say we love Krishna, we must maitraha, we must befriend whom he loves. If I love some person, but I don't love whom he loves, we are not going to please that person. If a wife loves her husband, he says, only you, huh? Nobody else should come inside this place. Your father, your mother, that I don't care. That's up to you, you take care. Your relatives, I don't care. I'm only connected to you. That means, what can I get from you? What's in it for me? But if I take you as it is, if I love you for what you are, whomever you love, I better start loving. Otherwise, this love is lust. What can I get from the Lord? That's all. I'm only concerned with you. Who cares whom you love? So, tad adhineshu, it must manifest in befriending whom he loves. And Krishna says, sadhavo hridayo mahyam, sadhunam hridayam toham. The most beloved to my heart are the devotees of the Lord. How can we not love the devotees? If you are not loving the devotees, that means we don't love Krishna. And even if that love is there, it's on a very Kanishta platform, simply what can I get from it? And then Balisheshu. Balisheshu means to the innocent who don't know about Krishna. In fact, the Lord is deeply in anxiety. Why the suffering conditioned souls are not turning to me? If you love someone, you want to relieve his suffering. If your beloved comes and is really suffering, say, what's the problem? Can I do something for you? I want to help you relieve your burden. So his only anxiety, in fact, the why he comes into this world, is whole propaganda is basically how to get all these conditioned souls back. Therefore, kripa, we extend ourselves to get others at the feet of the Lord. Balisheshu. And dushatsu. Dushatsu means those who hate God, who blaspheme, who criticize, out of demoniac mentality. Namam dushkritano mudha naradama maya pardagana asuram bhavam ashrita. I don't want to surrender. At the same time, we can't hate them, obviously. They are also part of Krishna. But they are right now in a very diseased condition. Very contagious disease. So even if your very dear relative becomes contagious disease, you can't freely associate. You put him in a place where he can get well, then only you can associate closely. So, upeksha. By maintaining a respectful distance. I don't want to hear the blasphemy of my beloved Lord. If you have no other business, if that's the only thing you have to do, I have nothing to do with you. I don't hate you, but Hare Krishna from a distance. Yah karoti sa madhyama. That means love is coming. And to do these four things, whatever is necessary, I will create whatever is necessary, I will maintain whatever is necessary, I will tolerate whatever is necessary, and I will see everything but still not attached, because I'm only attached to what will please Krishna. I am not attached to whatever will displease Krishna. Even though my heart may be wanting to interact in some way, but Hare Krishna. Because there is love. So that is the love of God, is the best insulation against Maya. Best insulation against the bodily concept. Until we don't have that love, we have to follow in the steps, footsteps, under the direction and the guidance of those, and have the vision of those who have that love. And here, their lives, their activities, how they dealt, Mahajano Yenagata Sapantha. Otherwise, we may end up in some disaster. Anything away from this is a recipe for disaster. That is the most auspicious, simple path back home, back to God. And therefore we find great personalities, they also are like that. They have created everything, but they never take credit. They tolerate so much, but for them, it's not a suffering at all. In fact, if somebody else is suffering, they extend themselves naturally and forgetting about that others, their own suffering. That means they have actually transcended. And even though sometimes they may be opulent situation and sometimes they may be in a very, very poverty-stricken situation, but that does not contaminate or affect them from their path back home, back to Godhead. That's the proof ultimately. We may get affected or not affected, but do we get affected from the path? That's the ultimate test. When Prabhupada was asked one time by a person, Swamiji, you say that, you know, Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita and Arjuna heard the Bhagavad Gita and Arjuna became self-realized. But then when his son died in the battle, he became angry, so angry. It took a vow. First of all, he started crying to know that his young 16-year-old, youthful, powerful, you know, son was dead. So how did he die? He cannot die face to face. If someone is facing him and fighting, he cannot die. How did he die? Tell me. No. Six people from behind, they killed him. Much more powerful people, but six of them from all sides, they covered him. Burnt with anger. He was lamenting first for the way he was killed. And he was so angry, he said, by tomorrow evening, because it was late night by the time he returned back, he says, by tomorrow evening, whoever has done this, if I do not kill him and avenge, then I will enter fire, burning fire. That fire actually will be cool for me. The temperature of that fire will be insignificant compared to what I'm experiencing right now. This fire will burn me to death if I don't avenge him. That much was the anger. That much was the lamentation. So, this reporter asked Prabhupada, Swamiji, how can you say he was self-realized? He had duality, anger, and hatred, and all this lamentation. So, Prabhupada said something to this effect. I don't remember the words, but what he said was, did he stop fighting? Did he stop fighting for Krishna? Because ultimately, Sarvadharman Parityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Raja. You have to surrender to me. Krishna wanted him to fight. Mamai Vamsho Jivaloki. We are his part and parcel. We have to serve. That is our eternal duty, Sanatana Dharma. Did he stop his service to the Lord? Did he say, Krishna, after all, you know, I served. Whole life I dedicated you. This is what I get in return. Here is your Gandiva. Here is your bow. You fight the battle. Hare Krishna. He could have said that. devotee is not a impersonalist, rock-like, dry renunciate. Swamiji, you got a lottery. One fixed smile. Your mother died. Unmoved, like a rock. Naturally, their destination is fixed. This is what they'll become. Absolutely emotionless, like a rock. Without pure love. So, the only way to transcend is not artificially trying to just give up, give up, give up. We do the needful, whatever. Tani sarvani sayamya. But, yukta asita matpara. Develop pure love by following in the auspicious and the easy path that is traversed by the great Mahajanas. Then, everything becomes, all this will manifest. And we can actually experience. If someone says something, you don't get so easily affected. If something happens, you don't get so disturbed that you even go away from your constitutional duty. Hare Krishna. I think we'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya. Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari.